You would unfold your newspaper at the breakfast table and be appalled at what one group of humans was doing to another in places you'd never seen or heard of. Nowadays, things were different. In this age of 24-hour rolling news cycles and the power of the internet, you could be happily stirring pasta sauce on your hob when you were faced with the kind of news that had the potential to shake your comfortable existence to its very heart. And that was how it was for me. I had a wooden spoon in one hand and my smartphone in the other, absent-mindedly scrolling through the news, when I saw the headline that made my heart pound and my head spin. Missing Briton Olivia Bennett believed found after 8 bodies discovered in US National Park. The picture that accompanied the headline was of a young woman with shoulder-length brown hair and a bright, slightly lopsided smile. The wonky grin was a result of the damage done to her face after a terrible car accident when she was only 14, an accident that killed both her parents and her baby brother. How can you possibly tell all that from a photo, you ask? Because that girl was one of my best friends. I will never forget her face or the fact that I'm to blame for her disappearance. New York City, December 1995. The bar was packed. We'd known it would be. Rachel had chosen it specifically because it was top of the list of New York's trendy places to be seen. She'd read about it in one of her guidebooks, and it was everything we dreamed of, and more. For tonight, we weren't 3 ordinary girls from England. We were actors in our very own Hollywood movie, out on the town, looking to have a great time. We wanted to dance, flirt outrageously, if given half a chance, and drink cocktails in an uptown Manhattan bar. Rachel strode up to the door. "Ready, girls?" she asked. Olivia and I nodded enthusiastically. Rachel opened the sleek glass and chrome door straight into another world. The heat from all those bodies crammed inside smacked me in the face. We pushed our way forward and into the crowd, trying to get nearer to the bar. The place had no dance floor, I noticed. But that didn't seem to be a problem for the groups of revelers who bopped up and down where they stood, raising their hands and jigging back and forth to the beat. "Let's get some drinks," shouted Rachel, gesturing towards the long black marble bar that took up most of the left-hand side of the space. "I need to sit down," I shouted back. "These shoes are amazing to look at, but hellish to wear. My feet are bloody killing me." At that moment, almost as if by magic, a group of people got up from their table and gestured to us that they were leaving so we could sit. This was how it had been for the entire trip so far, as if we'd been blessed by the gods of travel, with everything going our way without us having to try. It had started at the check-in desk at Heathrow. A ticketing error meant that economy class had been overbooked, so the 3 of us got bumped up to first class. We couldn't believe our luck, and we took full advantage of everything that the upgrade had to offer. By the time we boarded the plane, we were drunk on free champagne and stuffed with croissants, pastries, and complimentary fruit. And that wasn't the end of it. The first flurry of snow fell as we ice skated in Central Park. As we passed a cathedral, one of the oldest in New York, a choir was rehearsing some of the most beautiful music I'd ever heard. We stood out on the steps, our breath fogging up the freezing air, and listened. Every time you turned a corner, it was like stepping into a scene from a movie. Yellow cabs, police sirens, funnels of steam pouring from vents in the road. We were having the time of our lives. We shopped, we walked, we laughed, and we drank. A lot. Looking back, though, after everything that happened, I realize I should have been wary. In my experience, the universe isn't in the habit of dishing out good fortune like that without demanding payback eventually. But those thoughts would come later. Right then, we were living in the moment and enjoying every second. We'd already shared 2 bottles of champagne in our hotel room before we came out that night, so by the time we squeezed around the table in that Manhattan bar, we were a little tipsy, to say the least. Not totally pissed, mind you. I'd say we were at the stage where we could find even the most mundane thing hilariously funny. "What can I get you, ladies?" A waiter appeared at the table, wiping away drink spills and flashing us his gorgeous smile.